Hello, you're listening to the Praxis 42 Health and Safety Made Simple podcast with me, Tom Moon. Each episode, we take a different topic, break it down, cut out the jargon, and put it into plain English, with the aim of making it easier to understand and easier to implement. Today, we're going to be talking all things asbestos. Let's get stuck into it. For people who work in health and safety and certain industries, asbestos is a term which is regularly used. But don't worry if you haven't heard about it, because by the end of this episode, you're going to know exactly what it is, why it was used so prevalently, why it's so dangerous, and what you've got to do to manage the risk. So what is asbestos? Asbestos is a naturally occurring mineral, and it has some amazing properties. It's said there's evidence that asbestos might have been used as far back as 4,500 years ago, with people making cooking pots and utensils out of it. There's also evidence to show the Egyptians used asbestos around 2000 to 3000 BC to embalm the bodies of their dead pharaohs. But it really hit the heights during the dawning of the Industrial Revolution back in the 1800s, which sparked the first commercial asbestos mines to be opened. And the rest is history, as they say. But why was asbestos seen as this wonder product? Like I said, it was discovered that it had some amazing properties and it could be moulded and adapted to meet a wide variety of needs. So what are these properties, I hear you ask? Well, here are but a few. Firstly, it's very resistant to heat. Now think about fire safety and protecting people and property from fire. Well, asbestos was the obvious answer. It's also resistant to electricity. So again, the electricians would have been lining up to get their hands on some. And wouldn't you know, it's also resistant to chemicals. So there's another industry that would want asbestos by the boatload. It's insoluble in water, so it can make good weatherproofing products. So again, builders and roofers would want asbestos at the top of their list. It has high tensile strength, so it has strength to burn. And probably one of the most important properties, and why it is used so much, is the fact that it was easy to manipulate. It can be transformed into a wide range of products. And that leads us nicely into the next section. Let's look at the kind of products asbestos was used for, or still could be found in today. And you'll probably be surprised what you might find. Now, this list is by no means an exhaustive one, but it'll give you an idea of how much asbestos was used. So firstly, it was used for soundproofing products, fireproofing, insulation, roof tiles, floor tiles, cement panels, cement pipes, vehicle brakes, remember, it was resistant to heat, rope, string, door seals, cloth, adhesive, putties for windows, packing materials, consumer products such as irons, heaters, hairdryers, toasters. It's a lot, right? Safe to say, between the start of the Industrial Revolution and the 1970s at its heights, it was everywhere and was the wonder product to cure all ills.
The most unusual and useful mineral fiber known to man. It has played a tremendously important role in the improvement of our standard of living. They called it asbestos.
So you may be thinking, if asbestos was that good, why isn't it not still being used today? Well, asbestos had a hidden secret. In the 1920s, the first medical case of an asbestos-related death was recorded in Manchester, England. Nellie Kershaw worked in an asbestos factory for 7 years, spinning asbestos yarn. Repeated exposure to asbestos fibres over that time led to Nellie's death, caused by pulmonary asbestosis. The major failing of asbestos was discovered. If fibres were inhaled, they'd get lodged in the lungs, and then there was no way for them to be removed. Imagine asbestos fibre like a small branch off a tree, with spiky twigs coming off it. Each of the spiky twigs acting like a barb on a fishhook. Once embedded in the lungs, it was stuck fast. But from the first death being published, the deaths kept on occurring. And despite legislation and regulation being passed to try and control exposure to asbestos, the first being back in the 1930s, to this day, 5,000 workers each year die as a result of an asbestos-related disease. That's more deaths that result from motoring accidents each year. So, exposure to asbestos can cause one of the following fatal or serious diseases. The first of these is mesothelioma. This is the cancer which affects the lining of the lungs and the lining surrounding the lower digestive tract, and it is the most serious of the four. Next is asbestos-related lung cancer. Asbestos-related lung cancer is the same as, and looks the same as, lung cancer caused by smoking and other causes. The third is asbestosis, related to heavy exposure to asbestos over many years, causing scarring to the lungs. This condition can cause progressive shortness of breath, and in severe cases can be fatal. The last is pleural thickening, again related to heavy asbestos exposure. The lining of the lung, the pleura, thickens and swells. The seriousness of asbestos exposure became apparent in time, and in 1999 regulations were passed banning it from being used. But the damage had been done, and still every year people are losing their lives. But why? Let's look at this from three angles. Firstly, it's down to the time it takes for these diseases to develop. Depending on the exposure a person has had and the disease itself, it could take anywhere from 10 to 30 years before the real effects are noticed. So as with anything, early diagnosis is the key. Secondly, it comes down to the amount that asbestos was used in its heyday. As we found out, it was a wonder product and was used in so many different forms. The more that was used, the more likely you are to come in contact with it. And thirdly, it's how it's managed. People just aren't aware asbestos is present in the place of work or their premises. And this includes building landlords, employers, and also tradesmen. Asbestos does not pose a risk if it remains in good condition. But if it is damaged, it has the potential to affect multiple people. So how can we effectively manage the risk asbestos poses? As you might have guessed, there's a legal requirement to manage the risk asbestos poses, and this duty falls upon the responsible person. So, what's a responsible person? This is the person who is in charge of a building, a premises, or staff. To manage asbestos effectively, you have to consider some key points. The first is to take reasonable steps to find out if there are materials containing asbestos on your premises, and if so, in what amount, where it is, and what condition it's in. The next stage is to presume materials contain asbestos unless there is strong evidence to suggest they don't. Next, make and keep up to date a record of the location and the condition of the asbestos containing materials, or the materials which you feel could or are presumed to contain asbestos. Assess the risk of anyone being exposed to fibres for the materials identified. Prepare a plan that sets out in detail how the risk from these materials will be managed. Take the necessary steps to put that plan into action. Periodically review and monitor the plan to ensure that it stays relevant and up to date. And provide information on the location and condition of the materials to anyone who is likely to work on it or disturb it. These principles are laid down in the Control of Asbestos Regs 2012. As you can see from that list, priority is to establish if there's asbestos present in your building or premises. To do this, you need a survey completed of your building by a competent asbestos surveyor. And there are three types of survey, depending on what you want to do or what the work is to be completed. The first is a demolition survey. As the name suggests, it's completed prior to a building or part of a structure being demolished. It aims to identify all asbestos-containing materials, or ACMs, prior to the demolition taking place. The second survey is a refurbishment survey. Again, the clue's in the name. This is done when a building or part of one is due for refurbishment, including structural changes, extensions, rewiring, or replacing heating systems. It ensures that the planned work can proceed safely while assessing whether ACMs are present in the areas affected by the proposed refurbishment. And the last survey is a management survey. If it's your duty to maintain any type of property, commercial or otherwise, an asbestos management survey is the standard kind of inspection needed to meet your legal responsibilities for managing asbestos. This survey will identify the location of asbestos-containing materials and recommend suitable actions to take depending on the condition or the location of them. So the survey's been completed and it's time to digest the information. I'll just try and summarise what you'll find in your survey. It will document if asbestos-containing materials are present, where they are located and what form they take. Remember from early on, they could take a wide range of forms. What type of asbestos it is, what condition the asbestos is, and what the best course of action is needed to manage it. There could be recommendations such as removal, manage in situ, encapsulate or label. Now you have the survey completed and it confirms asbestos is present in your place of work, how do you go about managing it on a daily basis? Now let's establish one thing. Asbestos cannot pose a risk if it remains in good condition and it's not disturbed. However, don't get lulled into a false sense of security. I hear people say when I complete the visits at their premises, yeah, we've got asbestos, but it's the safe stuff. Asbestos, regardless of its type, is asbestos and has the potential to cause serious disease or death if not managed properly. Now, when it comes to managing asbestos, a lot of people think the best way is to remove it. And in certain cases, it's the only option, given its condition. However, removal is an expensive business and can be extremely disruptive to the day-to-day activities of a business. So how can you manage asbestos-containing materials that don't need removing? An easy way to look at this is like a risk assessment. Now, if you've listened to our previous episode on risk assessing, this will be a walk in the park, but not to worry. If not, go back, take a listen, and then this will become a lot clearer. This time, we can be really focused. We've got one hazard, and that's asbestos, and there's no arguing there. Then we need to look at the likelihood of it being disturbed or damaged. And this likelihood will obviously change depending on where the asbestos-containing materials are located, their type, and what work is being completed in their immediate vicinity. From there, you'll introduce your control measures to reduce the likelihood of disturbance happening to the lowest practical level. Let's look at what practical, everyday actions you can take to manage the risk of asbestos within your workplace. The first one is to label any asbestos-containing materials, and this is an easy one. If you go onto the internet, you can download or purchase the industry standard warning labels. Place them on any asbestos-containing materials, and it's easy for people to identify it. Make sure persons who could come into contact with it are told of its location and to report any suspected damage. Ensure people are informed of hidden asbestos-containing materials, often left in situ because they were too hard to remove. Great example here is floor tiles. Very hard to remove, so often new flooring is laid above it. Make sure an emergency plan is in place in the event that any asbestos-containing material becomes damaged. Regularly inspect the asbestos-containing materials on your premises so you know exactly what condition they're in. Take action to repair or improve the asbestos-containing materials. Remember, this must be completed by a competent person. But how about the people who only attend your premises every now and again to complete work, such as contractors? How do they manage the risk of asbestos and what should they be doing? If they're completing any sort of intrusive work, they should be asking to see a copy of the asbestos survey prior to the work starting. They should establish if the proposed work could potentially disturb or damage the asbestos-containing materials. If this is the case, then remedial work such as removal may need to take place prior to the work starting. You should inform them that they will be working near asbestos and have the copy of your asbestos survey available for them to refer to at any point. It's vital that there's cooperation and coordination between both parties. And if there's any doubt, work doesn't go ahead or is stopped, because if it goes wrong, the consequences could be life-threatening. So there we are, asbestos management done. Let's look at the key points. Asbestos was widely used due to its versatility and its amazing properties, meaning that despite it being banned from use post-2000, it's still in a lot of premises and products in use today. The key thing to remember is, as it stands, and if it remains in good condition, asbestos poses limited risk. The problems arise when it's damaged and fibres are released that could be inhaled, and this could have fatal consequences. If you own or are responsible for a commercial premises, the legal responsibility falls at your feet to manage the risk that asbestos poses to you, your staff, and any other visitors or guests that could come into your premises. Get your survey completed by a competent surveyor. The type of survey will depend on the work which is being completed. Establish what risk it poses and decide what course of action is most appropriate, whether that be removal or simple tasks such as labelling it. Put in controls to reduce the likelihood of it becoming damaged or disturbed. And lastly, educate people, both employees, guests or visitors, of where the asbestos is and what risk it could pose to them. You've been listening to Safety Made Simple, our podcast series helping make the world of health and safety easier to understand and easier to implement. If there's a topic you'd like us to cover, then please get in touch using the hashtag Safety Made Simple or via our website at praxis42.com.